Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, my dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, God bless you. We are going back in this ministry time together to the Gospel of John, and we are finding ourselves in the 18th chapter of John, and this is the last ministry meeting on the 18th chapter, specifically dealing with the last verses of John chapter 18, verses 28 to 40. Here we have in this very interesting chapter, we have the arrest of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, in the Garden of Gat Shmanim, the Garden of the Olive Press. In English, it is called Gethsemane, in Hebrew, Gat Shmanim, the press of the oil in this garden, and there Yeshua, in anticipation of his death on the cross, there with his disciples, and if you remember, we have read in other Gospels where the Lord Jesus the Messiah says, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And of course, right then and there, Judas, Yehuda Iscariot, came with many men that followed him, and he gave that betrayal kiss to Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, and they captured Jesus the Messiah and took him from the Garden of Gat Shmanim there to Hanan, the high priest, and from there to Caiaphas as well, the high priest, and from there on, we find out how Simon Peter denied Yeshua three times by saying, "I do not know this man." And we have ended in our last ministry where Yeshua looked at Simon Peter and he went out bitterly, as we read it from other gospel in that connection. And here we are now in John chapter 18 and verse 28. And listen to what we read here, verse 28 to verse 40. And we find here Jesus the Messiah before Pilate, the governor, who ultimately condemned Yeshua the Messiah to death and released Bar Abba. And so we read in verse 28, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then Pilate said unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that a saying of Yeshua might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Yeshua, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Haim ata melech ha-Yehudim? Yeshua answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation, and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Yeshua answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I found in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And here, beloved brothers and sisters, I will stop with the reading of John 18, verse 28 to 40. And it is very interesting to see how our blessed Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, is finding himself now standing not only before Hanan, not only before Caiaphas, but now before Pilate, the governor. And here we can see what Pilate had done by ultimately condemning Yeshua and giving the Jewish leaders an opportunity to release a robber by the name of Barabbas, in Hebrew, Bar Abba, son of the father. Now notice this, beloved brothers and sisters, that in verses 28 to verse 32, we see the question of Pilate to the Jewish leaders. And the question was, what is the accusation? Just remember, all that night, Yeshua, up to very late at night, even into the morning, he stood before the Jewish leaders, headed up by Anna or Hanan, and ultimately Caiaphas, the high priest. And we find there that all this night, they took him through the trial. They sought to find fault in him. They sought to accuse him, seeking to condemn him because he claimed to be the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of God who came from heaven in order to become the promised one of Israel, the one that the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, were speaking about concerning the coming of the Messiah, the Emmanuel, the El Gibor, the mighty God, the one who was to be born in Bethlehem Ephrata, who will be the ruler over the people of Israel, the one that was the seed of the woman, the one who was the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of Israel, the seed of Judah, the seed of David. Yet they sought to find fault in him, and they could not find fault in him, even though they were accusing him. And the Lord told them already in verse 20, I spake openly to the world, and I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret I have said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What have I said unto them? Behold, they know what I said, because the high priest wanted him to openly teach and tell the doctrine, the teaching that Yeshua was teaching. But you see, after all this night of seeking to find accusation in Yeshua the Messiah, eventually by the early morning, the high priest have sent Yeshua to the governor, the Roman governor by the name of Pilate. And so we read in verse 28 to verse 32, the question that Pilate, very early in the morning, the following day, can you imagine? He, rising early in the morning, where they brought the Lord Jesus into this judgment hall, and there we find Pilate coming out. And so we notice this. In verse 28, Yeshua is led to the hall of judgment. Notice that we read here in verse 28, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. That hall of judgment, in Hebrew it is called Beit HaMishpat. It is a praetorion in the Greek. This is the place where the court takes session there. And they brought him to Beit HaMishpat, to the judgment hall, and it was early. Notice the word early in verse 28. In other words, all night. The whole night Yeshua, the Messiah, was before the Sanhedrin, before the Jewish leaders, and now in the morning he's taken to the judgment hall to be judged by Pilate, the Roman governor. We read in verse 28, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall. Why? Listen to this. Lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Notice how ironic it is, beloved brothers and sisters. Why? Because on the one hand, the Passover feast is at hand. Yeshua the Messiah is the one who was going to become the Passover lamb. As we read in John 1 verse 29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of this world. It is so interesting to see that here we are coming to the period of time in human history when God the Son, who became a man, is about to become the Passover lamb, while the Jewish leaders of that day will not enter into the judgment hall because it was the judgment hall of the Romans. They didn't want to be defiled because they are preparing themselves to eat the Pesach. It is interesting because the Passover lamb, the Messiah, the Mashiach himself, is there in the midst. And in a sense, we can see the fulfillment of all that which we have learned from the Hebrew scriptures, from Exodus chapter 12, when Israel was delivered out of the land of Egypt, and the first Passover was kept by the Jewish people, and now finally the Passover lamb himself, the Messiah, is right in their midst. They will go to eat the Passover, yet they will reject the Passover lamb himself. They do not want to be defiled, because after all, they were not allowed to enter into a home of the Gentiles because there was that separation. And yet you can see what religion does. Sometimes, sadly, religious views that we might have merely an external view, an external belief, and yet in the heart of hearts, it has no value before God. To take an innocent man, a sinless man, and to accuse him, to be taken to death, and yet to go to keep a certain feast, only proves to us how far one is from the Word of God, and how careful one have to be, even today in the age in which we live in the church age, to be careful not to have this merely an outward religion without an internal reality in the life of God's people, or those who profess to belong to the Lord. And so you notice now, as Yeshua was taken to the judgment hall, we find out the question that Pilate asked the Jewish leaders. Again, when you read the word the Jews here in the Gospel of John more than 70 times, we find out, we learn that this has to do specifically with the religious leaders and not every Jewish person who live in the day of Yeshua the Messiah. And so Pilate went out unto them, and he said, what accusation bring ye against this man? Pilate was the Roman governor, who governed Judea from 26 to 36 AD. And he come and he asked this question: what accusation do you bring against these men? What did he do? Why do you accuse him? Now, bear in mind, beloved brothers and sisters, that it is interesting that Scripture does teach us that when the Messiah will come, he will not die by the nation of Israel, but he will be pierced by the nations of the world. There will be the guilt, and the reason for the death of the Messiah was because of the sin of the whole world. But when the psalmist of Israel wrote concerning the death of the Messiah in Psalm 22 and verse 16, he said, "For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked one enclosed me. They pierced my hand and my feet." In other words, the truth of death by crucifixion, and not by stoning as it was the manner of the Jewish people, was already taught in the Hebrew Scriptures long before the Mashiach Yeshua came. And you can see how the Lord Jesus is led from Hanan to Caiaphas, from Caiaphas to Pilate, from the Jews to the Gentiles, and ultimately to be crucified. Yet all are guilty. All of us are guilty, because the reason that the Messiah came to this world is because of all of our sins. But Scripture indicates to us how, when, and through whom, and ultimately how the Messiah will die and pay for the sin of this world. So Pilate asked, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" Well, notice the answer that the Jewish leaders give in the next verses. Verse 30, we read, "They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, or an evildoer, or criminal, we would have not delivered him up unto thee." Well, was the Lord Yeshua the Messiah a malefactor? Was the Lord Jesus the Messiah a criminal? Was the Lord Jesus the Messiah an evildoer? They could not find any wrong with him at all. He was that sinless one who did not sin. Of him we read in Scripture that in him was no sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin, we read of him in Scripture. And therefore, they accuse him in saying that if he was not a malefactor, verse 30, we would have not delivered him up unto thee. You know, we learned the lesson of one that is able to keep a feast at the same time to accuse a person in order that he will be condemned unto death. It says in John 8 and verse 46, Yeshua asked of them, he says, "Which of you convict me of sin?" Which of you can convict me of sin? They could not convict Yeshua the Messiah of sin. Why? Because he never sinned. He could not sin. He did no sin. He was the sinless one. And yet, when he told them, "Which of you convict me of sin?" they had nothing to say about him. They couldn't find any fault in him. And yet, they brought him to Pilate, who asked them, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" And they told him sadly. They answered and said unto Pilate, "If he was not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." How sad it is to accuse someone who is innocent. How sad it is to have this sinful nature of ours active, in a sense that we are able to accuse someone who did nothing wrong to us or to anyone else. And well, yet we know, as the psalmist of Israel and the Scripture of Israel that God gave to the people of Israel always taught this lesson that when a Messiah will come, he will be sinless. And when he will go to the altar, to the cross, he will go there as a lamb that was led to the slaughter. Isaiah said, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow, and we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted." It does say in Isaiah 53:5, "He was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripe we are healed." We do read in verse 7 of Isaiah 53, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." And here we see him brought now before Pilate, and ultimately, as we will look on in the study of a book of John, we will see that he will be taken to the shameful cross. And so we read in verse 30 that they said, "If he was not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee." And so notice what now we read in verse 31. Pilate want to knowing that there was nothing wrong with the person of Yeshua. We read that Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." You take him and you judge him according to your law. What the Jewish leader said? The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." And notice how interesting it is. We read in the next verse 32, that the saying of Yeshua might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Now notice, Pilate gave an opportunity for the Sanhedrin to stone Yeshua themselves. If he's guilty of death, well, you take him and you judge him according to your law. But you notice the answer, and the answer of the Jewish leaders really link with the prophetic word of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, because they said, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." Yet Stephen was put to death in Acts chapter 7 by stoning. And yet in relationship to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the scripture had to be fulfilled that he will not die by the hand of the Jewish people, but the hand of the Gentiles. And so we read in verse 32 that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Beloved brothers and sisters, let me remind you that throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, once and again, Yeshua mentioned to his disciples the way whereby he will die. To remind you that in Matthew chapter 16, Yeshua said, from that time forth, verse 21, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then next we read in chapter 17, Yeshua continued to instruct his disciples. And there in verse 12 we read, "But I say unto you that Elijah has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise," at the end of verse 12 of Matthew chapter 17, "shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Notice that. And then verse 22 and 23 of Matthew chapter 17, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the hand of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry. Now, if you will go just a little bit further in Matthew, in chapter 20 and verses 18 and 19, Yeshua gives us additional information as he's teaching his disciple the way and the manner in which he will die, because we read in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 20, and Yeshua going up now to Jerusalem, and he took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and he said unto them, and here, verses 18 and 19, Jesus the Messiah gives to the disciples additional information. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest. Judas betrayed him to the chief priest, and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him unto death. We just read this in John chapter 18. And then we read in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 20, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles, to the Goyim, to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, this is exactly what David prophetically said in Psalm 22, verse 16, dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Not they stoned me, but they pierced my hands and my feet. Speaking about crucifixion, the manner whereby the Romans crucified, put to death individuals whom they accused. And so we read of the fulfillment of what the Lord taught his disciples in Matthew 16, Matthew 17, Matthew chapter 20, that ultimately he will be handed over unto the Gentiles, and they will scourge him, mock him, and ultimately crucify him, pierce his hands and his feet, and ultimately he will die and he will rise again on the third day. And so here we are in John chapter 19. How amazing the fulfillment of the word of the Lord. As we read in verse 31b and verse 32 of John 18, the Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. And then they continue, that the saying of Yeshua might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying by what death he should die. This is extremely interesting to see that every promise that the Lord had promised in his life, in his death, in the manner he will die, ultimately in his resurrection and ascension and the second coming, everything will be fulfilled to the letter, because he is presented before us specifically in the Gospel of John as the eternal Son of God, who took union humanity with his divine nature and became a man. And as man, he will suffer and die and be buried and rise again for the justification of any who will only believe on him. And so, indeed, the Messiah, Jesus' words will be fulfilled, and indeed they were, as he was taken from Hanan to Caiaphas, to the Gentiles, namely to the Pilate, and ultimately he would be condemned unto death. And so we do read, beloved brothers and sisters, that the verse 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying by what death he should die. God determined that the Messiah would be crucified by the Gentile world while rejected both by the Jews and by the Gentiles together. There is a verse that is found in Acts chapter 4, which we need to read, because in Acts chapter 4, we have the early assembly, the early believers in the city of Jerusalem praying together. And as they were praying, it is very interesting what they were praying when they were together there. We read in Acts chapter 4, we read, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord, and they said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David have said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Mashiach, his anointed, his Christ. Quoting, of course, the second Psalm. And then notice what the early Jewish believers in Jerusalem, who were there in that room praying to God, look what they have said in prayer. In verse 27 of Acts chapter 4, of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Notice this, beloved brothers and sisters, that the early believers understood the guilt of us all. Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, they were gathered together to do what? To do, notice, whatsoever thy hand, this is God's hand, had determined, and thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. God, in his eternal counsel, knew exactly how and when the Messiah will come into this world, and how and when the Messiah will ultimately be taken by wicked hand, and how and when the Messiah Jesus, Yeshua, will ultimately pay for the sin of this world, how he will die, by whom he will be killed, and how he will ultimately will be resurrected from among the dead, and ultimately will return back to heaven and provide redemption for all who will trust in him. This is fascinating. And it is my sin and your sin, beloved friend, that put Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, on the tree. God knew our need. Knowing our need, he determined that the Mashiach will have to die for the sin of this world, for your sins and mine. But it's so precious to know that though we are guilty, yet God is so gracious to offer to us forgiveness by simply believing in who Jesus is and in what he has done. We read in many passages in the Tanakh the way whereby the Jewish people would stone a person when he was guilty unto death, as it was commanded by God in the Hebrew Scriptures. And therefore, because God have intended that the Messiah will die by piercing and being crucified, it was understood that all his plan and his program will surely come to pass. And therefore, as we just read in John chapter 18, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 2, we read, again, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers, that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. At the end of the very same 20th chapter of Leviticus, we read, a man also, a woman that has familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. It is very clear, beloved brothers and sisters, that stoning was the manner whereby a guilty person will die in the life of the people of Israel. In chapter 24 of the book of Leviticus, we read in verse 14, bring forth him that has cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. This is the manner whereby one will be killed when he is guilty of that which he committed. And therefore, when the Messiah would come, we read from Psalm 22:16, and from the passages we read in Matthew chapter 20, that the process that he will be captured, he will be brought to the by the Jewish people to the Gentiles, and they will crucify him. And therefore we find him here before Pilate, according to John chapter 18, verses 28 to verse 32. And so as we continue here, beloved brothers and sisters, in that portion of Scripture, from verse 33, all the way to the end of this chapter, now we see a Pilate questioning Yeshua and asking him if he is the king of the Jews, if he is Melech HaYehudim. Notice that the question that Pilate asked, really, all the four Gospels record that question. In Matthew 27, verse 11, in Mark 15 and verse 2, in Luke 23 and verse 3, and in John 18, where we are, and verse 33, Pilate entered into the judgment hall. Notice it's once again the judgment hall. And here's again, and he called Yeshua, and he said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? In Hebrew, Haim ata melech ha-Yehudim. Ha-ata hu melech ha-Yehudim. Now, this is a question that Pilate asked Yeshua, and just wanted to remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, that the prophets of Israel did predict that the Messiah will come and he will be the king of the Jews, the king of Israel. Isaiah said in Isaiah 32 and verse 1, behold, the king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be an hiding place from the wind, and a covered from the tempest, as a rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. A king shall reign in righteousness. That king is the king Messiah that will reign one day in righteousness. To remind you that in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God had promised to King David, the king of Israel, the man after God's own heart, that he will ultimately bring the Messiah out of his loins to be the king of Israel. Zechariah the prophet says in Zechariah chapter 9 and verses 9 and 10, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Thou, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh. Unto thee he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the the chariots from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he, this is the Messiah, the king, shall speak shalom, peace, unto the heathen. And his dominion, this is the king of Israel, his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the rivers even to the end of the earth. But you see, when the Messiah Yeshua came at his first coming, he came into this world in order to first of all provide redemption for mankind, beloved brothers and sisters. And therefore, when he came in humility, as we read in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, your king cometh, and he is just, and he is having salvation, and he's lowly riding upon an ass. In other words, when he came, Yeshua the Messiah came riding on a donkey in humility, knowing that he is coming, first of all, to pay for the sin of this world. And therefore, when Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Of course he is the king of the Jews. He is the one that would come to rule and to reign over Israel and over all the nations of the world. Of him we read in Numbers chapter 24, when we read, "I shall see him," this is Bilam prophesying, not even knowing, "by the word of the Lord, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob," notice, "and a scepter," this is a king, "a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and he shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Shet, and a dome shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly." Amazing. Verse 19 of Numbers chapter 24, "Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion." This is the king, HaMelech, "dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city." This is the promise of the Messiah that would come, beloved brothers and sisters. This is the one that would come to rule and reign over the people of Israel. So Pilate asking him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" he's asking. Amazing question. And when you really think about the beloved brothers and sisters, how wonderful to know that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, is indeed the king of the Jews. We read in Micah chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. "Now, gather thyself in troops, O daughters of troops, he that hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." But, the prophet continued to say, "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come," this is the king, Messiah, "shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, Moshel be-Yisrael in Hebrew, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting, mimei kedem mi'olam, whose going forth will be from of old, from everlasting." Beloved brothers and sisters, this man by the name of Yeshua is none other but the king of the Jews, the king of Israel. He was born to be the king of the Jews. And so Pilate asking him, he's asking Yeshua in this verse 33 of John chapter 18, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" What a question he is asking. To remind you that in Matthew chapter 2, we do read where the wise men came from the east, and they said in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 2, "Where is he that was born, that is born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Everyone there should have fallen on their faces and worship this man by the name of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. And you can just imagine how he is there standing, first of all, before Hanan, Annas, then before Caiaphas, and ultimately before Pilatus, Pilate, who was the Roman governor, who spoke to him and asked him this question, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Beloved brothers and sisters, this is fascinating. To remind you that in the very same gospel here, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, we have already read it in the beginning of our study together. In chapter 1 and verse 49, we do read, if you remember, in verse 49, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel, Melech Israel." What an amazing lessons we learn here. The King of Israel, the King of the Jews, is now at his first coming rejected and despised and just about now to go to become the Passover lamb. And soon he will be pierced. Soon he will die on this shameful cross. And so Pilate asking Yeshua in this chapter, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And so notice Yeshua's answer in verse 34. Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, answers Pilate. He continues, and you notice what we read here in verse 34. Jesus answered him, and he said to him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did another tell it unto thee?" You notice that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, gave an opportunity for Pilate to recognize and to proclaim that he heard about him and that he could turn to him and accept him and recognize him. "Pilate, are you saying this of yourself?" You notice that we find in this Gospel of John that Pilate called Yeshua king 4 times during the trial that Yeshua stood before Pilate. We read here in our chapter, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" In verse 39, at the end of this chapter, we read, he says, "Therefore I release unto you the king of the Jews." In chapter 19 and verse 3, and we read, "Hail, king of the Jews." In verse 14 and 15 of chapter 19, we also read, "Behold your king," in verse 14. Verse 15, "Shall I crucify your king?" In verse 19, once again, Pilate wrote a title and he put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Pilate, with his question, actually were using this expression, "King of the Jews," in mockery, to mock Yeshua, the Messiah, while he had an opportunity to turn to him and recognize that this innocent man that is standing before him was not to go to die because there was no sin in him. And yet Pilate, in mockery, were mocking him, asking him, "Are thou the king of the Jews?" And Yeshua asked him, and he said to him, "Do you say it of yourself, or did others tell this unto thee?" And so we read in verse 35, Pilate responded. And you notice what he says. Pilate answered, and he said, "Am I a Jew? Haim ani Yehudi? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? What hast thou done?" Well, we read in Scripture that he have done all things well. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, have done all things well, beloved brothers and sisters. You know, when I hear this question by Pilate, when we read this statement by Pilate, it reminds us of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And if you remember when God gave a command, one command to Adam, not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and telling him that in the day that he will eat out of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he will die. Thou shalt surely die. Dying shalt thou die. And so Adam sinned. In contrast, Yeshua was the sinless one. Adam fell into sin and plunged the whole human race into this world. And you remember the first question that God have asked Adam there when he was hiding from before the presence of God there behind the tree. And God asked him, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 13, the Lord said unto the woman now, he says, what is this that thou hast done? He was asking, first of all, Adam in verse 9, where art thou? And the woman, he said, what is this that you have done? Very same question that Pilate asked Yeshua, what hast thou done? God is asking the woman, what did you do? Very same question. He asked Cain after his sin by murdering his own brother. And you remember what we read in Genesis chapter 4. The Lord said unto him, what hast thou done to Cain? The voice of thy brother, his blood is crying unto me from the ground. Beloved brothers and sisters, Adam and Eve have fallen into sin, disobeyed God, and God asked them, what have you done? Cain and have killed his own brother, and by killing his own brother, he have committed the first murder, and God asking him, what hast thou done? Think about it. Disobedience to the Lord that brought sin into this world, that brought murder into this world. God is challenging the human race. What have thou done? We read in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 9, when Elimelech called Abraham and he said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? That was when Abraham lied about his wife Sarah, saying that she is his sister. And Elimelech took her. And then when he found out that she was belonged to Abraham, she came to Abraham, and he asked Abraham, he says, what hast thou done? What hast thou done? And yet the man, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, has done all things well. He gave himself for us. He came to this world in order to provide redemption for mankind. And beloved brothers and sisters, when we read this question about the Lord, when Pilate asked him this question, what hast thou done? There was nothing wrong that Yeshua have done. He said in John chapter 8, which one of you can convict me of sin? There was no guilt in him. There was no sin in him. He is the one of whom we read in Hebrews chapter 7 that he is the one who is holy. He is the one that is harmless. He is the one who is undefiled, separate from sinners. Hebrews 7 and verse 26. There was no fault in him. And when Pilate asked him this question, what hast thou done? We read the answer of Yeshua in verse 36. And Yeshua answered and he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Notice the answer of Yeshua when he said, my kingdom is not of this world. What does he mean when he said this expression, my kingdom is not of this world? After all, we just read throughout the Hebrew scripture that God promised that a king will come and will rule from sea to sea and from shore to shore. And this is the Messiah, the Mashiach will rule. But the kingdom that he will receive will not be given to him by this world of sin. It will be given to him by God himself. And the reason that he came at his first coming is not now to rule over men, as yet he came to die for the sin of this world. Therefore he said, my kingdom is not of this world. This sinful world who deny him and rejected him, headed up by Satan who opposed him, and still today reject him. His kingdom, the time that he will come as a king of the Jews to rule and to reign over all the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that will be given to him from God, by God, in a soon coming day. And Yeshua said, my kingdom is not of this world. And if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servant fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. In other words, beloved brothers and sisters, the kingdom that the Messiah will receive is a kingdom that he will receive from God. It is a righteous kingdom. Yeshua will one day return and establish a righteous kingdom that is given to him and will be given to him by God himself, not of this world, beloved brothers and sisters. How wonderful to know this world rejected in the past and still rejecting the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, today, but his kingdom will be given to him by God in a coming day. The reason that he came here at his first coming is to give his life a ransom for many. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forever. We read it in Psalm 132. The Lord remembered David. This is a psalm that we read of David and the promise of God that one day out of his loins shall come one who will rule over this world. This is a promise, and a kingdom will be given to Yeshua the Messiah by God himself. In Isaiah chapter 9, we read in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. Listen to this. From henceforth, even forever. And who said that? Verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 9, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. My kingdom is not from this world, but my kingdom is from my Abba, my Father, from the Lord Jehovah, whose zeal have promised that he will perform this promise unto the Lord Jesus Yeshua, the Messiah. Wonderful promises we have in Scripture concerning the Messiah Jesus, who will rule and reign one day and have his kingdom. We read in Luke chapter 1, when the angel spoke concerning the birth of the Messiah, in Luke 1, verse 31 to 33, we read these words. The angel said unto her, this is Miriam, in verse 30. The angel said unto her, fear not, Miriam, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord, listen to this, beloved brothers and sisters, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. No, my kingdom is not of this world, but the kingdom will be given to him by God himself. What a day is awaiting, beloved brothers and sisters, and yet here, our blessed Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, our blessed Lord, is standing here before Pilate, who asked him, what hast thou done? Are you the king of the Jews? And Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, answered him and he says, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servant fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from hence. And so Pilate, in verse 37, we read, in verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? He's still continuing to ask, Are you a king? Look at you. Look, you are standing before me. You are rejected by your people. You are despised. You have been brought to me. Are you a king then? And look at the answer of Yeshua. Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. You said it. I am a king. I am a despised and rejected king in my first coming. I am rejected by men. I am a man of sorrow that came to die. You say that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Earlier in John 14, Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Even earlier in chapter 8, Yeshua said, I am the light of the world. Even in chapter 1, he was the one that was the light, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He came to this world to bear witness unto the truth. And the truth is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that unless God will do something about our sin and sins, we will all perish. And in love for us, Yeshua said, I was born to this end, and for this cause I came into this world. I came that I should bear witness unto the truth. I came to pay for the sin of this world, to bear witness to the truth that all have sinned, and sin must be judged. And Yeshua was judged for our sin and sin. And he said at the end of verse 37, Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And so Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and he said unto them, I found in him no fault at all. If you turn to chapter 19 and verse 4, notice, I found no fault in him. In verse 6 of chapter 19, once again, we find he is mentioning, when the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out and they said, Crucified, crucified. Pilate saith unto them, notice one more time at the end of the verse, Take him, crucify him, for I found no fault in him. Three times Pilate could say of him, I found in him no fault at all. Because Yeshua was the Holy One, sinless one, undefiled, separate from sinners. And yet, sadly, Pilate condemn him to be crucified, because we do read in the next two verses at the end of John chapter 18, But ye have a custom, Pilate said, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? You see, he's mocking Yeshua, and he's actually mocking the Jewish people. Pilate should have repented and turned to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Here and now, he had an opportunity as he heard what the Lord Jesus said unto him. For this reason, I was born into this world, and I came to this world that I should bear witness to the truth. Pilate had an opportunity to respond to this truth. And yet he asked, What is truth? And wickedly, He, along with the others there, the Jewish leaders, the Romans, and all who were there surrounding him there at this judgment hall, and before all of those who were there, he says, "You have a custom that I should release someone for you on a Passover day. Will you that I will release unto you the King of the Jews?" He doesn't even mention Yeshua's name. And notice the response of the Jewish leaders. "Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Now, beloved brothers and sisters, it is very important to understand here that this statement, this name Barabbas, comes from the Hebrew Bar Abba, two Hebrew words. Bar means son, Abba means father. And you see how it is so interesting that they chose Bar Abba, the man who has only a name, Bar Abba, the son of the father, who was a robber. And yet he was chosen to be released instead of the true son of the father, Ben Ha'aba, whose name is Yeshua. What a sad thing to see how men, unless the Spirit of God convicting one to recognize his and her sins, how choices are made when one would say, not this man, but Barabbas or Bar Abba, the robber, over the true son of the father, this true Ben Ha'aba, who came from the father. The father sent the son to be the savior of this world. How sad. How sad. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, Pilate is now condemned Yeshua, and then he released for them Bar Abba. And as we enter into the 19th chapter, we will see how Pilate then scourged Yeshua and sent him to be crucified. Well, may the Lord help us to open our eyes to see that we need to receive the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who is indeed the King of the Jews, and to accept him as our Messiah, Lord and Savior, and have this forgiveness of sins, assurance that we belong to God. How wonderful if one will do so today. If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God bless you, dear brothers and sisters, and dear friend. Until the next session, I will say to you, Shalom, Shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.